This morning, we begin a new 12-part sermon series on Paul's epistle to the church. It will be helpful if we can study both Colossians and Ephesians together because they are what I call twin epistles. Colossians focuses on the Christ of the church and Ephesians focuses on the church of Christ. When we study both letters together, we will form a comprehensive idea of what it means to be a church of Jesus Christ, what it means to belong to Jesus Christ, and what it means to follow Jesus Christ as his believers. Especially in such a time when I have come across many Christians or many believers of the faith who have been telling me they don't feel the need to belong to a church or they don't feel the need to connect to a church. Somehow, they will use this phrase, I am spiritual, but not religious. I do not know what it means by that. It's almost saying I'm well-rounded, but not fat. Why? Because they give the idea going to church or belonging to church is a religious thing that they do not want to have anything to do with. Somehow to be spiritual means you have outgrown the church. But if we really study the Word of God, especially this letter of Paul to the church, we begin to value the church, what it means to be a church, what it means to live out our lives as believers in a broken world. And here it is, in this letter, we begin to understand how God has made us whole in Him through Christ, so that through our wholeness, to become a healthy community, we can make a difference in the world around us. Let me give you four reasons why we want to study Ephesians. The first reason is Ephesians is a treasure trove of God's grace. Yes, when we study this letter, we discover the kindness and the greatness of God's grace is so beyond our wildest imagination. In fact, you know, sometimes as a church, as a believer of Christ, we hear God's grace so often that we got so used to it, we got so familiar with it, we treat it like another topic. But God's grace is not a topic. God's grace is the very person of Jesus Christ. You and I can never change the definition of God's grace, but we definitely can grow in our revelation of God's grace. And this reminded me of a story years ago that I came across called Babette's Feast. And Babette was actually a refugee. She had to run away from her home country, France, because she was accused for a crime. And she became a refugee in a neighboring country, lost all her entire belonging, was very poor, but she found kindness in two sisters who lived by a coastal village. And these two elderly sisters could not afford to pay her, but Babette was willing to work for free for 14 years of her life. And she was a wonderful cook. She could take all those cheap cuts that the sister bought in the market and produce very delicious dishes. After 14 years, Babette struck lottery and she so-called won 10,000 francs. And 10,000 francs in that time, in today's currency, is about 300,000 Aussie dollars. And Babette decided to throw a feast. She called her cousin. She called her nephew to buy all the wonderful exotic food from Paris to ship it to that small little village. And Babette began to cook a storm. And she invited 12 people to come to that feast. And at first, when people saw the widespread or buffet of food, the variety of food, none of them dared to touch it at all because they were so used to eat so-called simple food. And suddenly they saw all those wide array of food. They just were too fearful to touch any of it, fearing maybe it could actually kill them. Except for one of the guests, he was a retired general. And when he saw the widespread buffet set before him, he knew immediately it was cooked by Babette, because Babette used to run a restaurant back in Paris. And at first, no one dared to touch the food, but because the general had a chance to eat her food years ago, he began to introduce every dish. He began to tell them the story, the history, how it was prepared, what goes into it. And the more he explained, the more people began to enjoy the food. And at the end of the whole entire feast, everyone had such a wonderful experience, not just eating Babette's food, but they enjoy that fellowship that they had. And in fact, that whole entire feast, according to the general, cost 10,000 francs. For a table of 12. So here was Babette spending her whole entire fortune to bless that village of 12 people, that they may experience something of her generosity and her grace. And I believe this is a story of God's grace. God's grace is not a one-pot dish. God's grace is like a widespread buffet for us to enjoy. And Paul is like an old general. Sometimes we are so dull to understanding God's grace, we need an old general like Paul who experienced the grace of God in such a marvelous way to introduce to us grace again and again. And I hope through this journey we're going to have together, we will be get caught up by God's grace all over again in a fresh way, but also in a very powerful way and in a supernatural way. The second reason why we want to study Ephesians is Ephesians reveals God's unique grace to and through the church. Paul tells us that we are God's masterpiece. We are God's workmanship prepared for every good work. None of us can do anything except by the power of God. And God has caused us to be a church that we can experience His supernatural grace, that He has given us the Holy Spirit to equip us through the fivefold ministry of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, so that as a believer, we receive the equipping and also through the strengthening of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we can be the one that demonstrate the supernatural power of God in our world, in our community around us. So God is not calling us to be just simple believers, but He called us to be simply supernatural in what we're doing as a believer, that we are blessed to be a blessing. The third reason why we want to study Ephesians is Ephesians explains how God's grace empowers us to grow in holiness through the Holy Spirit. I do not know what is your understanding of holiness, but as far as we go back to scripture, holiness means to be set apart from sin and set apart from God. In one sense, holiness is not a burden, but holiness is a blessing for those of us who are caught by grace. Many times people think the holy life is burdensome, but a holy life, when we are empowered by the grace of God, is a great blessing, because we are set free from all our sinful habits. We are set free from the way we think according to the world, but now we begin to function and live and think according to the things of the Spirit. In fact, if you ask me, holiness is nothing less than having a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will instruct us, the Holy Spirit will help us and convince us of our righteousness and help us to grow in our righteousness. So in one sense, we should be grateful that here in Ephesians, we begin to understand God's grace empowers us to grow in holiness through the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing why we study Ephesians is Ephesians explains how God's grace transforms our relationship. In fact, if you start reading this book, and I would suggest if you can, it's only 6 chapters, so spend one day to read one chapter. In fact, if you got time, you can finish reading the whole entire book in half an hour. But if you don't have the time, you feel stretched, then I would suggest start meditating on one chapter for each day. And when we get the next Sunday, I'm telling you, you will be amazed by the revelation you simply glean from the very word of God. But Ephesians explained to us how God's grace can transform our relationship. In fact, the word mystery keep appearing. We begin to understand the mystery of God's will, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of how the Gentiles was added into the church. Then we also discover the mystery of marriage. And yes, marriage is a mystery, just in case you don't know. But what is helpful for us to understand that God's grace transformed the relationship between a man and his wife. God transformed the relationship between parents and their children. God transformed the relationship that we have with each other in our community and those out of our community. You see, you know, as a people of God, God's grace brings a powerful transformation. You know, many times we all start reading self-help books, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be better parents. And we read those self-help books because we want to be skillful. We want to be helpful in a way we carry out our role and function as a spouse or as a parent. And that's helpful. But self-help books can only bring us that far. It gives us good idea. What if we go back to the gospel and then we discover God's idea? And this is what we're going to do in our series, where we're going to see how God's grace can transform our relationship in the most loving and supernatural way. But this this morning, I just want us to focus on two verses from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let me read it to you from the English Standard Version. And Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we discover how Paul was called to be an apostle by Jesus Christ by the will of God. Anyone remember what was Paul's name before he was called Paul? Anyone? All right, you are right. It's called Saul. Saul definitely was named after King Saul. And Saul in Hebrew means sought after, highly exalted or elevated. So somehow Paul's parents wanted Saul to be a man that was sought after, to be a man of great importance. But when Paul began to be transformed by the gospel, when he talks about, you know, he considered all his accomplishments in life as rubbish, when he saw and experienced the surpassing glory of Jesus Christ, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. And Paul means little, insignificant. I think when you and I begin to understand the grace of God working in our life, we can echo with what Paul was saying to us in Corinthians, that when I'm weak, I am strong. No, when I'm poor, I'm rich, because somehow God's grace, His glory is so impactful and so powerful. It makes us not one that we want to elevate ourselves, but one that really humble ourselves. So the more we understand the grace of God, the more humble we become. But he was called an apostle. See, an apostle is not about you having authority over other people, or to be an apostle means you are a person of great importance. Rather, the word apostle has two meanings. Originally, it means a ship that is sent out to do trading. And apostle can also mean a person who has been appointed or a person who has been commissioned to a certain task. So those who are sent by an authority is called an apostle, just like an ambassador. An ambassador is sent up by his own country to represent his country in another country. And so to be an apostle is not so much of you as a person of great importance, but rather you as a person who's representing someone who of greater importance. So as an apostle, it's not you having the authority by yourself, but the apostle points to the one who sends you, who has authority to send you to do the work that's set before you. So here was Paul saying, I'm an apostle not because I sent myself, but I'm a sent one. I'm sent by God, by his will, to the saints who are Ephesus. In fact, if you read the earlier manuscript of Ephesians, you don't find the word Ephesus appears. All it says was to the saints, right? If Ephesus was added in later, because scholars believe this is where this letter originated from. But many other scholars also believe the epistle to the Ephesians was what I call a circular letter. It was spread around to believers. It was sent from churches to churches in a region. So in one sense, Paul was not writing to an individual. In fact, if you read all other Paul's epistles, he was always greeting someone. He was always saying hello to someone, or he was talking about special problem. But somehow in this letter, he was not greeting some special friends he had, or he was addressing a special problem. Rather, he was writing a letter to encourage churches everywhere. So in one sense, you and I can put our name there. We can say Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints of First Light. So in one sense, we make this letter of Paul to the Ephesians something personal. And here he said to the saints, we are not called to become saints. We're not called to do some things to gain sainthood, but rather we are made saint by the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So sorry to our Roman Catholic brothers that our Roman Catholic friends who become saints when they go to heaven, but rather we are made saints on earth, not by our own strength, but by the grace of God. And because we have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ to be saints, we are to be faithful in Christ Jesus. And here Paul also said in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we can see Paul was talking to two distinct groups of believers in the church. One were the Jews and one were the Gentiles. And when Greeks meet together, they often like to use the word grace to you. And when Jews come together, they like to say to each other shalom. And so Paul brings these two greetings into this verse, saying grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. What was Paul trying to say? He's saying that the church can comprise different kinds of people. The church should be open enough to embrace all people. The church is for all people. People of every tribe, every race will be part of the church. And we should, as a church, to open our hearts to people of everywhere. You know, in recent news, especially over the death of George Floyd, opens up a lot of conversation. And this conversation is about racial and cultural differences or racial and cultural war. And one of the things that I picked up beside Black Lives Matter was this facing coming back, silence is a form of violence. And somehow, sometimes when we choose silence, it's because we may not want to add fuel to the fire or we don't want to create more division. But sometimes silence can be miscommunicated as if we don't care, that we don't want to get involved in anything, or that there's somehow this is not my problem. And I think that is something as believers we ought to avoid. In fact, here is a revelation God is giving us to us as a church, that Jesus Christ died for the whole world. Jesus Christ embraced the whole world and invite the whole world to be part of his body. And so as a church, you know, while we may comprise people of different nationalities, different races, what we need to pray is for the grace of God that we can love each other without pride and without prejudices. We can love each other with a sense of humility, and if we have any racism in our hearts, or we have misunderstanding of other races, or we sometimes have what I call racial characterization of other people, we must ask God to help us to see them as God sees them. Don't judge people by the color of their skin. Don't treat people because they are different from us. But here we are. We are called to declare the grace of God to each other. And then we are here to announce the shalom of God to one another. Hallelujah. And so what we can take away from these two verses, I want to close quickly this morning. But there's three things, three practical things we can hold on to this from these two verses, what it means to be an apostolic community. Remember, here was Paul. Paul was an apostle sent to the church. And when Paul gives the revelation, he is bringing his gifting, he's bringing his anointing, he's bringing something to change the spiritual atmosphere of the community. So when we receive a prophet, we receive a prophet blessing. When we receive an apostle, we also receive an apostolic blessing. So here we are as a church called First Light, but we are called by God to be an apostolic community. You know, so when we study the epistles of Paul, it's not just to benefit our own spiritual walk, but it's to transform us as a community to be an apostolic community. So what does it mean to be an apostolic community? Number one, look to Jesus and obey his command to go and make disciples of all nations. This is the bottom line, people. If we are called to be an apostolic community, it means we must look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, but we are called to obey his last command, should be our first order, that is to go and make disciples of all nations. And all nation means all nation. So if you and I have this issue of carrying a burden of against other people because they are different from us, or we have that fear of reaching out to other people because they're different from us, then we must ask for the grace of God to help us. And the only way for the grace of God to transform us, to change us, is to look to Jesus, because he is the one who calls us as we obey him. As I say, obedience is not a burden, but obedience is a blessing. As we respond in obedience to him, we will go and make disciples of all nations. The second thing, to be an apostolic community, is to stay true to the gospel as taught by the apostle and the prophets. You know, as I said again, and I want to say it again, that you and I can never change the definition of the gospel. You and I can never change the definition of God's grace, but we can grow in the revelation of the gospel. We can grow in the revelation of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, let me paraphrase this statement I came across many years ago. It says something like this, that the grace of God is so shallow that a baby can swim in it and not get drowned, but the grace of God is so deep that a theologian cannot touch its bottom. Let me say it to you one more time. The grace of God is so shallow that a baby can swim in it and not get drowned, but it is so deep that a theologian cannot touch its bottom. You see, we can never outgrow the grace of God. Hallelujah. Whether you are a new believer, whether you are a mature believer, whether you are a well-seasoned believer, there is so much more for us to discover the grace of God. And that's why we must stay true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only when we stay true to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will not fall into deception and the lies of the evil one. But rather, when we stay true to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it means we are called, we are carrying with us an apostolic legacy from one generation to another generation. And that is the calling God has for us as a church, and not just only, but for every church, that the faith that we receive from the apostles, the faith that we receive from the Jesus Christ, the gospel that we understand from Jesus Christ, this is something we want to pass on to our children and to our children's children. We must pass on it from one legacy, from one generation to another generation. And that is what it means to declare with our mouth the faithfulness of God from one generation to another generation. The last thing is being and becoming a community of the sent. And this is a very important thing that I want to encourage all of us to start shifting our mind, that mission is not a destination, but rather mission is a lifestyle. No, even in the first life, after all these years, we talk about mission and we educate our people about mission in so many ways, through Kairos, to the unfinished story, to empower, to influence. There are still people in our community who still think mission is a destination. They often talk about, well, God didn't call me to China, God didn't call me to India. Mission is never a destination. Rather, mission is a lifestyle. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you follow Him. If you follow Jesus Christ, you are called to make disciples of all nations. So in one sense, all of us are missionaries. All of us are called to different fields. And we need to be obey the call of the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever fields He calls us. So if you say that, well, Pastor, I don't think God has called me to mission, then I'm wondering whether you have been called to salvation. Because there is no, what I call, splitting of hairs. We cannot say salvation is one part and mission is another part. Both salvation and mission belongs together. If we are called by God, then our calling is to live out our lives as faithfully as possible to being and becoming a community of the sent. To be a community of the sent means as a church, as a people of God, we want to do church the fresh way. We don't want to keep on doing the church the same old way. God is calling us just like an apostle like Paul or like Peter is always on the move. They are always learning to trust the Holy Spirit, moving according to the movement and the momentum of the Holy Spirit so they can do the will of God. So likewise, when you and I are called to be a community of the sent, we are not just being static, but rather we are moving together in tandem with the Holy Spirit. So being a community of sent and also asking God to transform us to be a greater community of the sent one. So here it is, what it means to receive the gospel from an apostle is to be transformed into an apostolic community. And so church, I want to bless every one of you today as we continue to hear the word of God. We will grow from grace to grace. So I want to encourage everyone this coming week, please spend time just to read through Ephesians. If you have time, read Colossians so that you gain a better understanding, so that next week as we gather again, we are going to dive into some of the most powerful revelation of Paul's understanding of what it means to be in Christ. So may God continue to bless you, and may God continue to strengthen you, and may God continue to nurture you by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you become an apostolic generation to declare His faithfulness from one generation to another. So after this service today, don't forget to stay tuned for a while to look at the video that will be uploaded on Refugee Week this week. We're going to watch a video from Sen Man Hoon, who will share with us her journey from Vietnam to Australia. And tomorrow, stay tuned to hear Mercy's testimony of how he left Congo as a refugee, being blessed by God in this lovely country called Australia. So until we gather again, may God continue to bless you and strengthen you in your journey and bless you in the most marvelous way. May you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may the peace of God be with you always. Thank you.